It could be in hell. Could be in some kind of mental home, which probably ought to be. Amen. But the Lord blessed us, and we're here. Amen. We'll preach to you on the subject, why your beginning matters. Now, God puts a lot of effort into teaching us about the beginning. And you have to understand, God does nothing on just because. There's always a reason. Every word in the Bible is pure, right? Yep. It's planned. Amen. And thank God in the King James Bible, it's preserved. Now, if you have another one in versions, it's perverted. Amen. Right? Amen. That's free. That's for you, Hunter. Amen. See, you shouldn't show. Don't never show me something right before church. And now my mind, and I'm going to preach on that and make half the holler mad at me, but we'll probably do that next Sunday. Amen. Amen. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 simply says, in the beginning, God, right, created, right, the heaven and the earth. Is that what Charles' Bible says? In the, that's definite article, I think what that's called. Is that right, Miss Sharon? Definite article? Sound good to you? So, I mean, it's not like, there's a big difference. Now, some of these, see, here we go. Some of these modern Bible versions will say, in beginning, God created the heaven. That changes the whole meaning of everything. That just says, well, when God got started, this is what he done. But the Bible says, in the beginning. So there's a definite place where history starts. Amen. Would you agree with that? Amen. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, our young folks quote this verses, and our kids wire Genesis chapter 1 out on Wednesday night services when we're doing our Bible verses. And listen, we need to let them do that because they're learning something that'll stick with them, and they're going to need it. Because everything you believe is found in the book of Genesis. Every doctrine, we talk about this, you can go from salvation to the bride of Christ to security to the rapture to the tribulation to God preserving the people of Israel during the tribulation. All of that is found in Genesis, right? Amen. Now, how important is the beginning to God? Well, let me give you some statistics real quick. 20 out of 66 books in the Bible, 26 of them mention the creation. That is almost 40, it's like 39.39%. Almost 40% of the Bible, the books of the Bible, reference creation in some form. That's a pretty good chunk, right, man? Would you agree with that? Yeah. Now get this one. 66 chapters in the Bible directly reference creation. 66 of them. This is some of the men that wrote the Bible that mention creation. You ready? Moses. Y'all know Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, some of the Psalms. Elihu, who wrote Job. David, who wrote some of the Psalms. Then you have another psalmist whose name was Ethan, the Ezrahite, and he wrote Psalms 89. He mentions creation. Again, Moses did. Solomon did in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Zechariah, and Malachi all reference creation. Matthew, when he quotes Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 4. Mark, when he quotes the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 10, verse 6 and 13, verse 19. John references creation. Luke references creation in Acts chapter 14 when he's quoting Paul and Barnabas. Paul, when he has the letter Romans wrote and 1 Corinthians wrote, Ephesians wrote, Colossians wrote, 1 Timothy wrote, and Hebrews, all those mention creation. James, Peter, and again John, and again in Revelation, all mention Revelation. Out of 40 men that God used to write your King James Bible, 17 of them reference creation. That's almost 50% of the men that wrote the Bible reference creation in some form, way, or another. If you want to get a little bit more numbers down, out of the 8 men that wrote, 7 or 8, that wrote the New Testament, all but one, Jude's the only one that does not mention creation. Amen. Now listen. Nearly half reference creation. Jesus himself affirmed that in the beginning, God created them, right? There's your pronoun. Male and female. Right? That's what Jesus said. In the beginning, God created them, male and female. He didn't create... See, God only dealt with two genders. The Democrats made all the rest of them. Amen? So we got all this mess. We got all these hundreds of things. Now they're saying, if you're just a regular, smart, regular, you've got common sense human being, now you're cisgendered. That means you are what you was born on. What that means? Really? I'm a guy. Amen. Been a guy my whole life. When I die, I'll be a dead guy. Amen. Some of y'all, you'll be girls when you die. You'll be a girl your whole life. Amen. Amen. And listen, I don't care how many surgery shots, whatever you have done to yourself, you're not changing your chromosomes. It's XXXY, so you are what you are. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig, but that don't change it into a woman. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, you know, I won't say that. I started being mean, but I'm going to be nice. But listen, we got to understand Jesus said in the beginning. So did Jesus know what he was talking about is the question. Was Jesus telling us the truth when he said in the beginning God created? Amen. Jesus, I believe he did. Amen. Listen, he said he's made a male and female. There is little doubt, if you read your Bible and if you got half a brain, that God wants you to understand that your creation and your beginning matters. Amen. Amen. And in this church, here at Wharton Missionary Baptist Church, we are King James Bible believers. Amen. I believe it all. I don't always live up to every one of it, but I believe it all. Amen. I fail it. I come short. I goof. I sin. I do all that. But I still believe. When I'm wrong, it's me. It's not the book. Amen. I believe in the beginning God created. I believe Moses parted the water for Israel. I believe God sent manna from heaven and fed them. I believe their shoes lasted 40 years. I believe David took a rock and killed Goliath. I believe, I don't know, you know, here we go again, thank you, Hunter. I'm not on it, but, you know, who killed Goliath? David did. Well, the NIV says El Hanan did. Listen, we got little bitty kids that's got more sense than that. Amen. Listen, I see what you've done to me, Hunter. Amen. Bless your heart. I still love you. But listen, we have got to understand in the beginning God. Amen. I believe it when Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. Amen. I don't think there's an ounce of error in this Bible. Amen. And if you can find one thing wrong with the King James Bible, one error in it, I'll give you $1 million. You say, well, Brother Gary, you don't have $1 million. I'm not worried about it because there's no errors in it. Amen. I'm safe this morning. Amen. Amen. We believe it. We believe Psalms 119 verse 40. Or verse 140. Where the Bible says, thy word is very pure. Amen. Hello. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Amen. Hello. We believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Since God's word is pure, right? And what does pure mean? It means it's got no impurities. It's perfect. It's without error. It's always right. So since God's word is pure, then we can believe that. Since God's word is true, that means there's no controversy in Genesis chapter 1. It says what it meant. And God meant it when he said it. Since God's word liveth and abideth forever, that means it's without change. So God said 6,000 years ago, I created the heaven and the earth, and that he ain't changed his mind yet. And he's not going to. We can believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we can believe it with confidence. Amen. We see in this verses of Genesis, Bible never tries to defend or to prove to you God exists. You ever notice that? It just starts off in the beginning God. Why? Because God figures if you're here, you don't have no sense. No, you got here somehow. Amen. You live in a world that's so goofed up and crazy. Listen, they believe. I don't want to get in that just yet. I'm going to get into that, but not just yet. And I forgot to turn my timer on. So this first little bit was free. So my 30 minutes don't start till now. Amen. Amen. I hope I've already been preaching 30 minutes. But listen, there's several truths in that first opening verses. It says God created. So what's God telling you? Any other means by which man says that the earth was created is false. Because the Bible says God created. Now you just amen me and act like you're going to shout. And I said, we believe every word of God, right? Yeah. We believe it's pure. We believe it's without error. We believe it's truth, right? Y'all remember about 5 minutes ago, you was about speaking tongues and all that stuff. You barely remember what. But anyhow, you believed all that. Amen. So when I say God created, that means any other offering for creation is a lie. Right? Y'all with me? Amen. So, evolution, Big Bang Theory, all that stuff is a lie. Right? What else? Well, it says, in the beginning, God. Well, that just blows atheism out the door. Yeah. You know, you got to be real smart to be an atheist. I mean, or stupid one, or brave. The Bible says you're foolish. Amen. And you got your own holiday, April 1st. Amen. So atheism is defeated in the first several words there of Genesis. In the beginning, God. Now, so you see, what else do we have? How many of y'all know what polytheism is? You know what atheism means? Atheism means no God, right? If you put the word "ah" in front of something, it means no. Like we say, atheist. A theist is somebody that believes in God. So an atheist is somebody that doesn't, right? So how many of y'all know what the word muse means? Like if I said, well, I was musing about that. You know what that means? Think, right? To think. To muse. You remember back years ago, they said, oh, so they was a muse. They're supposed to be like some thinker or whatever. So if you put A in front of that, a muse, that means don't think. And you'll go to King's Island and pay $50 to get in just to not think. Yep. It's an amusement park. And you can not think here and save you $50. Amen. So, but anyhow, but poly, the word poly means many. Why don't they call it a polygraph test? Because they expect you telling many lies. Amen. Usually by the time you get to that point in life, they've done caught you up in three or four. So go, listen, we're going to try to catch them up in all of them now. So they hook you up that machine. And you'll try to beat that, you know. And they'll say, what's your name? Oh, Bill. You know, you're like, I knew that answer. When was you born? You'll say it. They say, where was you on April 13th? And you're like, so they catch you. So poly means many. So polytheist is somebody who believes in many gods. Now in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. One. One God, right? Tom preacher, Lord's many, God's many, but there's only one. You got little G and big G. So when you're putting your stuff on Facebook, make sure you're talking about our God. You put a big G on that. Amen. 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 So you have all this. So polytheism is completely blown out of the water in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. As it says, in the beginning, God. Why does God do this for us? Because he's wanting you to know this morning that your beginning matters. Amen. We've proven that it matters to God. Well, how do we do that? Because 40% of the Bible, the men that wrote the Bible, the books of the Bible, 50% of the men that wrote it, all reference the creation. Eight New Testament we mentioned is eight of seven of them mention creation, only Jude. But Jude goes on to mention the different things from the account of Genesis. So if I'm not mistaken, I think the percentage just go way up. It's not 100%, but way over 50% of the men that wrote the Bible all references the book of Genesis in some way. Listen to this. Jude talks about Adam. So Jude must have believed in a creation. Amen. Jude mentions Cain, Adam's son. So he must have believed in the creation. Jude mentions Enoch. Jude mentions Satan. He calls him the devil. He mentions Sodom. He mentions Gomorrah. He mentions Egypt. All of these are things you can find in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, your beginning does matter to God, and it matters to the devil. And Satan knows if he can cross you up in Genesis chapter 1 and cause you to doubt in the beginning God, he can cause you to doubt the whole rest of the book. And the devil knows that. If creation is incorrect, then so is Calvary. So is Christ. So is the second coming. So is the rapture. So is heaven. So is hell. If the Bible lies in Genesis chapter 1, then it brings the whole rest of the Bible into question. So we have to understand that. And every biblical truth you believe, the virgin birth hinges on Genesis. So what happens? Well, if God does not create the world, and mankind, so then we're free from some things. You are free from morality. Amen. You can do what you want to. Right? And that's a whole push of Satanism. Do what thou wilt. Mr. Jay-Z has it tattooed on his arm. He might as well do what he wants. Because if you're here in a little while, he's going to be doing what God wants. And he ain't going to like it. But anyhow. So, you have no morality. You're living in a world right now that is so perverse morally because they don't believe in the beginning God. So that has affected us morally. We've escaped responsibility. If there's no creator, then there's nobody for us to be responsible to. Amen? So we live in a world where folks say, I can do what I want to and it's none of your business and blah, blah, blah. You know what? If you're out in public, you make it everybody else's business. Amen. There's responsibility. You have a creator. You're responsible to somebody. Are you responsible to Miss Marie? You better believe you are. If you don't say amen, she'll punch you in the nose and you'll find out. Yeah. Amen. Why are you responsible to her?
Why?
Yeah. What? You caught that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I just started a fight right there. Amen. Listen, but we have to be, we're responsible. We live in a world, and I don't mean to pick on our young folks this morning, but I'm going to. We're living in a world where young folks don't think they're responsible to anybody. You want to know why? Because they are being taught that Genesis 1:1 is not accurate and it's not correct. So if there's no God, there's no responsibility. So you don't have to listen to anybody. You can reject authority. You say, well, Brother Gary, I don't believe all that. You haven't been to high school very long. Amen. I can tell you right now, our young people have a problem with authority, and it's because we've started teaching them many, many years ago that there is no God. They weren't created. They just happened to be here, and so there's no question. You don't have to be questioned. You don't have to be you're responsible. Nobody's going to request you about anything. And you've got kids in this community right now. They're not responsible to mom. They're not responsible to dad. They're not responsible to their teachers. They're not responsible to the principals. They're not responsible to the schools. They're responsible to nobody. Why? Because it's been pounded into their head that God did not create them. So what does the devil do? He gives you Mr. Charles Darwin. And a little book titled simply, The Origin of the Species. Mr. Darwin writes this book in the year 1859. He concluded in 1859, Charles Darwin did, that the earth was at least 300 million years old in 1859. Now, why did Mr. Darwin say the earth was 300 million years old? Because he hates the Bible. And he knows what the Bible says. The Bible gives you 6,000 years of history. So Mr. Darwin says, well, we're going to start off. We're going to attack the timing of the Bible. So he says the earth is at least 300 million years old. Then, by 2021, the 2021, evolutionists have now determined that, well, you know what? We don't have enough time to make all this stuff evolve. So now the earth is no longer 300 million years old. The earth is now 4.3 to 4.28 billion years old. The earth aged tremendously in 165 years. From 300 million to 4.25 billion years in 165 years. You would think some of these scientists would study a little bit of math. You can't get there from there in 165 years. So you're telling me in 165 years that the earth aged almost 4 billion years. And they say we're crazy. Let me give you some more. The same textbook that says that the earth is billions of years old also says that this current eon of time that we're living in is roughly 542 million years old. And the human race is at least 6 million years old. And this same textbook that I read this from, honest to goodness textbook, science textbook, says that 10,000 years ago, climate change happened and caused the extinction of what they call mega mammals. Basically, the dinosaurs. We've got to get rid of them somehow. So it says, well, 10,000 years ago, they're close. It's 4,000 years ago. Something big did happen. And it did wipe out almost all the animals on the earth. Scientists will teach you that at some point, the human population dramatically and almost instantly shrunk. They said, well, we don't know why. I do. I've read Genesis chapter 6. Right? 4,000 years ago, there was a flood. And probably a million people on the earth at that time, only 8 survived it. It's easy for me to figure out. Why? Because I got a book. And the man that wrote that book, God, was there. He's an eyewitness to what happened. So God's account's true. So they can theorize what happened because they weren't there. The guy that I'm reading after was there. Right? So we know that. So anyhow, so you got all this happening. 542 million. Listen to the dates that this one textbook gave just concerning creation. 4.03 or 4 3/100 of a billion to 4.28 or the 542 million or 10 million or 10,000. They have no clue. Right? The Bible says, in the beginning, God, and that was roughly 6,000 years ago. Amen. You know the oldest living thing on this planet. You want to guess how old it is? Right at 4,000 years old. You want to know why it's 4,000 years ago? Because 4,000 years ago, there's a flood. It killed everything. So anything that lived after the flood has to be no older than 4,000 years old. That's easy to figure out. But they don't get it. So which is it? Did in the beginning God, or did evolution, or a big bang? Listen, this is what our children are being taught. Your children are being taught this in science class. Some science classes, I'll put it that way. At some point between 20 billion, or as close as 4 billion years ago, how close is 4 billion years ago? As close as 4 billion years ago, nothing exploded. Now, this is what they believe. This is what they're teaching. They saw it billions of years ago. There was nothing, and it exploded. I have never seen nothing explode in my life. Have you? Usually there's something there, right? As they say, but so 4 billion years ago, nothing exploded, and it created, or at least related and caused, the creation of the earth. And mankind began to exist. Now, let me tell you this first of all. How many of y'all know, you guys understand that mathematics and evolution don't jive? You want to know why? Because mathematics is based off standards. Right? 2 + 2 = 4. No matter where you live, no matter where you are, you can be in Japan, you can be in China, Korea, wherever, 2 + 2 = always 4. It's a standard. It's a truth, right? Thy word is truth. So, you know what? So nothing explodes. That's 0 × 0 = what? 0. All my little babies in here, all these little kids, they know 0 × 0 = what?
0.
So, but evolution says nothing, 0 × nothing = everything. Don't match up with the math, does it? See how you see that? And this world says, well, you're Christians. You guys are unintelligent and you don't believe. And you all this. We believe standards. You know, the law of thermodynamics, Newton's law, does not match up and will not coexist with the theory of evolution. Why? Because it is a law. It's an absolute. It's a standard. Anyhow, moving on. So they say nothing exploded. And then over the course of a few million years, it started to cool off. Well, congratulations. You know, amen. And then, a few million years after that, it started to rain. And what happened through the process of this nuclear rain, it began to produce chemicals. Nothing exploded and then started raining and produced chemicals. And it began to rain on these rocks and all that stuff, and then it began to form like a soupy, like muddy looking stuff. And in this soup, this mud, what began to happen, all this rain and all this stuff, and these chemicals began to form, and organisms began to be born in these chemicals. That's what they believe. That's what's being taught. So nothing explodes and starts raining and turns into soup. And then in this soup turns into humanity. They need a few billion years to make that work. That's why they can't get their math right. So nothing exploded. You know, evolutionary logic is the same thing as what is called circular reasoning. Do y'all know what circular reasoning is? That's circular reasoning. Y'all know what that means, right? Amen. See, and they laugh at us for believing Noah's Ark. And that we and creation. And we see this in the Bible. I was reading after this scientist who was a Christian scientist that was debating an evolutionist. And this evolutionist looked at him and he said, "Sir," he said, "do you really believe what you teach?" And the man said, "Sure I do." I said, "It's in the Bible. I believe everywhere in the Bible." He said, "So how many dogs, how many different kinds of dogs are in the earth?" He said, "There's hundreds of types of dogs. There's dogs everywhere. I mean, you got full-blooded dogs, you got half-blooded dogs, you got half Indian and Choctaw dogs, you got all this stuff. And you got all these dogs." He said, "So you would have you and your biblical belief want us to believe that all these hundreds of different types of dogs came from two dogs on the ark?" He said, "Now how absurd is that?" He said, "Sir, do you realize what you would have us to believe? You would have us to believe that nothing exploded and produced a bunch of rocks, and that these dogs come from a bunch of rocks." He said, "I would much rather believe that all these dogs came from two dogs as believe that all these dogs come from a bunch of rocks." He said, "That's what you believe." And he said, and the guy after that never asked me another question. Amen. That's what this world is believing. And they're telling this to our young people over and over and over and over and over. And they say that, but we believe in God. And they believe nothing exploded. We believe God said. Amen. We believe that the Bible tells us how man got here. We believe in the beginning God created. And on the sixth day, God created man. And then he looked down and said, "Well, it's not good for man to be alone." So he took a rib out of Adam and made a wife for him. And I talked to some boys the other day, and young preachers, we was talking about evolution and all that. And one of the boys asked me, he said, "Listen, he's a preacher, but where did Cain and Abel, where did they get their wives from?" He said, "I don't understand." I said, "It was their sisters." He said, "That's just gross." I said, "Man, don't panic, man. It's just the way it was. Where else are they going to get them? They going to marry a dog? I mean, they didn't live today. I mean, they lived way back then. They didn't do that." So I said, "So don't worry about that." He said, "But, man, think about it. Adam married his rib. He was the first person to ever have a McRib." And he just looked at me and said, "I never thought about it like that." It's all right. Evolution says people and animals come from rocks. Rocks come from, and the rocks produce the soup. And from this soup, you got mankind. Then you have, it's lying when they can't keep, I done showed you they can't keep their numbers straight. They can keep their facts straight. How many of y'all know what a supernova is? So when a star explodes, right? In our galaxy right now, they estimate there's approximately 270 remnants of supernovas in our galaxy. So they're saying at least 270 times stars exploded. And you got the remnants of it. Science claims that a supernova occurs once every 100 years. So if the Earth is 4 billion years old and a supernova happens once every 100 years, that would be way more than 270 remnants. Right? So then they say, "Well, wait a minute, the math don't add up." So then they say in another publication, "Well, once every 50 years. Math's still not there. So then they come out in another publication, and I read this, said once every 10 seconds. Supernova. Well, which in the world one is it? Every 100 years, every 50 years, or every 10 seconds? They can't get their facts straight. Now, what do we believe? I've read this. Some say, well, it's between 2 to 3 times per 100 years. That is closer to accurate. If you have 2 to 3 per 100 years, like that, and the Earth, if a supernova occurs once every 1,000 years, 1 in 1,000 years, science says once in 100 years or once in 50, but if it just happened once every 1,000 years, there would be right now over 1,000 remnants of supernovas in the galaxy. There's 270. So, and they're trying to tell us the Earth's been, we've been here 4 billion years. The science does not match up to science. Math, as I said, and evolutionary science won't match. Because math is standards. So if you look at this, some say, well, it's more like 2 to 3 a year. If you take 2.5 supernovas in every 100 years, in 6,000 years, right, biblical history, in 6,000 years, there would be 240 supernova remnants. Science has said, they've said, there's about 270. So who's right? The book. All right? 6,000 years, the math is there. Math backs up truth. Why? Because truth is standard. And thy word is what? Truth. So why does the devil want to attack Genesis chapter 1? Well, I'll give you a couple quick things. We're getting ready to get into the message. I mean, I haven't got to the message yet. This is all just to wow y'all with my smartness. Amen. So y'all can leave here and say, man, we got one of the smartest preachers on the holler. Amen. You can say, well, you can at least say, we got the smartest preacher in Gerald's Branch. Amen. That's what you can say. Well, I don't even know about that because Wayne lives over here, so I don't know about that one now. Doggone it. He had to live over here, didn't he? But listen, first of all, why this? Because the devil wants to attack the credibility of the Bible. If he can get our young people, and he already has, to get them to doubt Genesis chapter 1, he can get them to doubt the rest of the book. Right? So it's an issue of credibility. The Bible's God's credibility is at stake. Jesus quoted Genesis, so Jesus' credibility is at stake. And then the church's credibility is all at stake. Satan says, well, it don't matter. You know, creation don't matter. You know why the devil wants to teach that? He wants our young people to become humanistic in nature and believe in humanism. And this fact that man is all that, and man determines, and man guides, and man does this. And if you become humanistic in nature, you'll become self-centered. And we're living in a world today where our young people are becoming extremely self-centered. Amen. It's all about you. It's all about them. Or you can believe in relativism, which is all relative. It don't really matter, man. We're just here. We're a figment. I mean, like Shaggy back in Pot in the 60s. And he said, it don't really matter, man. We're just here. We're just floating around. And you, like I told you last week, you know, you got the Scientologists that said, well, you know, what happens? This concept of God that you have, man, is because some alien, so many billions of years ago, come down here and lived in a volcano, and then that thing exploded. And Jesus is just a figment of your imagination. That's what L. Ron Hubbard teaches until he split hell wide open. And then he began to all of a sudden realize that the alien didn't do that. It was God, in the beginning God. Amen? In the beginning God. Credibility is a big issue. We get relativism. You've got morality issues. We live in a world right now where our people are so immoral and so wicked, and we're wicked as hell right now in America right now. And we got perverted, we got perversion, we got sexual perversion, we've got mental perversion. You've got all this mess going on. You've got women aborting their babies left and right, and that's a moral issue. Amen. That's a biblical issue. Amen. Well, you know what, Brother Gary, but what if you Christian people really care, why don't y'all take care of some of these youngins? We are. Amen. We're doing our best right now. Amen. Listen, I'm sick and tired of that junk. You know what? Your mama didn't believe in abortion, you wouldn't be here, you idiot. Amen. So you'll be thinking about that for a minute. But listen, we're having a moral issue. You got women killing their babies. You got people like that way down in Texas, all them years ago, drowned her babies one at a time in a bathtub. And they said there was evidence on her oldest, a 7-year-old little boy, trying his best to fight his mama for his life. That's a moral issue that should not be happening in our country, any country on the face of this planet, for as far as that goes. That we're living in immoral times. We got young people that the sex is no big deal, and you just have sex everybody you want to, and you have sex here, sex there, and it's just all one big happy family. And listen, what happens is, now we got little babies don't have a clue who their daddy is, you got mamas don't have a clue who their daddies is, and you got kids that have no idea about their medical history. They could be a walking time bomb and don't know it. Why? Because their mama was immoral and their daddy was immoral, and you've got daddies that you're about responsibility. You want to be responsible to God. You men won't even take care of your own babies. Amen. You're just sorry, good for nothing piece of trash is what you are if you won't take care of your kids. Amen. That's why I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like the way you treat your kids. That's right. So we're equal. My boy's been 20 years old. I've took care of him all his life. I wish he'd become a millionaire and take care of me. About time for, you know, change it around a little bit. I wouldn't give you a dollar for a man that won't put clothes on his baby's back. Amen. That's what Brother Gary, they might be struggling financially. Well, then you know what? If I was struggling financially, he still had clothes on his back. Doggone it. That's what this billion years evolutionary scientific mind is teaching us, is that you don't have to be responsible. You didn't have to be responsible to start with. You wouldn't have had that baby. Amen. You might as well say amen. I'll probably say a few more things you don't like. But morals. Everything becomes unnatural. You ever try to kill, you ever come across a mama rat? How many of y'all hate rats? Raise your hand. How many of y'all believe you're going to kill every one of them? You ever try to kill a baby rat from a mama rat? That mama rat fights you. And we got women just laying down telling doctors kill it. It's a mess. Morals were in a mess. Standards were in a mess. We don't be responsible about nothing. We don't want nobody to tell us what to do. Well, good for you. You're never going to make it in the real world. Amen. You might as well just go get on welfare now. That's all you're ever going to have. Because you're going to have somebody tell you what to do. Amen. And you'll never get married. Amen, Brother D. Say amen. Amen. Hey, I'm trying my best to fight a start over here. It's responsibilities. Everything's unnatural. We have unnatural affection. And we some of them say, well, you know what, that's the sodomites and all that, and the LGBTQ crowd, and that's part of it. But it's not natural for a man not to love his kids. Amen. It's not natural for a mama not to love her kids. Listen, it's not natural for a human being not to be concerned about a kid. Hello. You know where this attitude comes from? 4 billion years ago, nothing exploded. And so since nothing exploded, you're accountable for nothing. You're responsible for nothing. Do what thou wilt, Mr. Aleister Crowley said. Dilemma and all that mess. Evolution is nothing more than a cult. Let me go on. So why does your beginning matter? You with me so far, Easton? You with me, Dalton? All right. Why does it matter? Number one, creation, or rather your beginning, proves that you have a purpose. You ever see somebody, I'm just trying to find my purpose in life. Well, go read the book of Genesis. Go read the Bible. It's in there. What's Genesis? What's the Bible say? Well, go to Psalms 139, verse 13 through 18. The Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. What's he talking about? Somebody's beginning. Your beginning matters. You come from the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The beginning, right? He says, marvelous are thy works. God, I look at myself and I think, God, you do a good job. Y'all, I mean, think about it. That's what he's saying. He says, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, God. Marvelous are your works. Look at me, God. Look what you did. This is your fault, man. Amen. Trick mirror. Watch it now. It says, I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. He continues, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully wonderfully made. I read that. My substance was not hid from thee. The creation, the act of creation that was we have now was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. What does he say? He says, you have a purpose. Creation proves you have a purpose. He says you are fearfully made. Fearfully means impressingly. or astonishingly. The act of childbirth is we say it's a miracle, right? It's fearfully and wonderfully. It's just amazing to see this. I remember when Isaiah was born, I was in there, and she had one of them things where they cut her open, the magician, but okay, and they was cutting her open, and I'm looking at him, and y'all have heard this story before. He was in there, and he was still on all that. I guess it's a potato sack or something, but he's down in there, and I'm looking at him, and the doctors tell me to sit down. He said, "Oh, Daddy, you sit down, you pass out." I'm like, "Dude, I don't want to pass out. I just work for the garbage company." Amen. I've seen nasty stuff before, and I've looked, and I'm just looking, and she's talking to me. She says, "What's he look like? What's he look like?" And I'm looking at him, and then she says, "What's he look like? What's he look like?" And I look back at him again. And I thought, "Oh gosh, I don't know what to tell her. We had an alien, and he's purple. I don't know. I mean, he's still down in there, Brother Jeremy." And I'm just like, "What in the world?" I seen parts of her I probably wish I never saw. I saw her dinner the day before, and there's all that just in there. And I'm joking about that part. But I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at her, and she says, "What's he look like?" And I'm like, "What's he look like? A lizard." I didn't know what else to tell her. He was purple. He was weird looking. Amen. I mean, and then that's juiced and all that stuff and all that mess. But I thought, man, that's amazing that God took that alien out of my wife and turned it into a human being. Amen. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a purpose. He says, fearfully made. Wonderfully. It means excitedly. You know, creation was an act of worship. Why are you here? To worship God. What's my purpose in life? Lift your hand up and say, "Praise God." There you go. That's your purpose in life. God said you're fearfully, wonderfully, excitedly, as if in worship, you've been created to give worship to your Creator. That goes back to responsibility. That goes back to all that other stuff we mentioned earlier. You are here to praise God, to live for God, to love God. He's your Creator, right? It's like anything else. I mean, God's gave you everything. You ought to appreciate it. Amen? And you say, "Well, I don't like God." Well, then quit breathing His air. Amen? Quit drinking His water. Quit eating His food. You'll find out real quick how much you appreciate God. Amen? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, He says you are fearfully, wonderfully, without time to hurry. He said He's got precious thoughts. How great is the sum of them? We were formed by God. We were ordained by God. And Satan does not want you to realize your potential. So he tells you, "You've been here 4 billion years and you came from nothing." No, you came from the Creator of all everything. So creation proves a purpose. Your beginning proves your purpose. Number two, your beginning proclaims a standard. God help us, in 2024, we need preaching about standards. Without Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3, there's no sin. So there'd be no So if evolution is true, there's no sin. Do what you want, nothing's wrong. And we're about there now. And we're trying to say, if evolution is true, and it took all these billions of years for Earth to get here, do you know what that means? That means death happened before sin. And that instantly contradicts the Bible. Because sin reigned from Adam, right, to Christ. Sin didn't start reigning before Adam did. So you can't have death before sin. Sin, death is a product of sin. So I'm telling you, it promotes a standard. Proclaims a standard. Creation declares a moral responsibility. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For under the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, doth death reign from Adam to Moses." We just told you that. "Even over them that had not sinned after sin was in with Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift, for through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So, ladies and gentlemen, you see, Jesus Christ is the standard. Amen. We live in a world they want to discredit the Bible, so you get rid of all the standards of the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not this. Thou shalt not that. Thou shalt go to church. Might as well be in it. It's what the Bible teaches. Amen. You know, for forsaking not this image yourselves together. We got Christian folks need to learn that. Amen. Listen, we're living in a world where the Bible says because your beginning matters, that means there's a standard, and Jesus is the standard. He is the way. We mention that all the time. He is the way of redemption. He is the way of salvation. He is the way of restoration. He is the truth. He is the truth about creation. He is the truth about nature. All the things you see testify of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the truth about history. Everything in human history points you to Jesus Christ. And so, brother, I don't know about that. But many years ago, it was B.C. or A.D., right? Before Christ or Anno Domini or the year of our Lord. Don't mean after death. It meant in the year of our Lord. So when these people would sign their big check, every atheist would sign his check, he'd say 2024 A.D. You know what he's saying? 2024 years from the year of our Lord. Amen. Listen, you got this crowd. Now it's this B.C.E. and before Common Era and Common Era, trying their best to get Christ out. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this world has been dated from his birth. He creates a standard. That's why people don't like preaching. Real preaching gives standards. I preach you, you know, you need to be saved. That's a standard. If you're not saved, you'll go to hell. It's a standard. The world says, well, just do what you want to do. It'll be all right. You're a good person. There's no God. So who's going to judge you if there's no God? Standards. Your beginning matters. And this world says, well, you know, it don't matter. You know, oh, you got that old archaic book that they quote every day, but it's archaic and they can't understand it. He is truth. He is the life. He created life. He sustains life. He gives eternal life. Number three, I'm trying to hurry. I'm done. I went over. Your creation matters because your creation, your beginning matters because it preaches salvation. It's in Genesis chapter 3. You come across this little couple of verses. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And she gave to her husband. The Bible says with her, and he did eat. And immediately their eyes were open. They realized, oh no, we violated the standard. God said, don't do that. We're a mess. So what are we going to do? Adam says, I know what let's do. There's a fig tree over here. Let's start pulling some leaves off. We'll sew these fig leaves together and we'll cover ourselves. Cool of the day, God comes walking around. Adam, where are you? Adam looks at Eve and says, shh. He'll go away. That's what people try. They try to dismiss God. Adam, where are you, Adam? Lord, here it is. This woman that you gave me. So God knows it's her fault, it's yours. She gave me that apple and I ate. Well, it wasn't an apple, but. And God, we're naked. He said, who told you you was naked? Because we ate, we know. So Adam comes up and says he's covered with fig leaves. But Adam says he's naked. God says he's naked. You know the only way for Adam and Eve to get covered? God had to take one of those animals that he had created and created it perfectly. Right? That animal didn't eat that fruit. That animal was a perfect creation. And God took it, killed it, and made clothes for Adam and Eve. Adam's fig leaves weren't good enough to cover him. He was clothed, but he was naked. So you sit here this morning, and I look at you, some of you, you're clothed. But when God looks at you, you're naked. Because you're trying to cover yourself. You're trying to do it on your works. You're trying to make sure that everybody thinks that, you know, you got two you's. You got church you, and then you got Monday you. And you're naked before God. So God had to make a sacrifice to cover the sins of the world. And then Paul, I don't know, see, probably about 2,000 years later, writes, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God. God gifted that sacrifice to Adam and Eve. Then you have Cain and Abel come along. Everybody wants to know, well, how did Cain and Abel, how did Abel know to make a sacrifice, but Abel was given his fruit of the land? How come Abel should have known better, right? Yeah, he should have, because his daddy probably told him the story about God killing the first perfect animal. Fig leaves, nature wasn't good enough. So it took a supernatural act of God. It took the blood to cover us. That's why Cain's sacrifice was rejected. It wasn't, you know, God just preferred Abel. It was that Cain violated the standard. So salvation is preached. Your beginning matters. So God says, listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, your life matters. The evolutionary scientists will teach you your life doesn't matter. Because one of these days you're just going to be cold. You're going to die and you're going to go to the earth. And if the earth survives another couple billion years, you're turning to coal. Which makes me wonder, speaking of coal, especially so many millions and billions of years old, but yet scientists can't explain how they found copper pots in coal seams. Evolution and the billions of years will never add up. So God says, listen, your life matters. You may not think it does, and you may say, well, you know what, I get old enough. I read the other day, 70% of young people, when they get out and they get old enough to go on their own, they'll quit coming to church, especially if they go to college. Especially. You know why? Because they're going to get some professor that's going to preach the exact opposite of what I've preached. You know what's crazy? We'll pay for them to get that stuff preached to them. I'd rather my kid, and he's not, I think he's one of the smartest people I know, I'd rather my kid be done with a box of rocks and have Jesus as to have a PhD and go to hell. So life matters, young people. Cammie, look at me. Your life matters. Kenley, Lily, your life matters. You're not billions of years old. Life matters. There was a creation. There was a beginning. Not only does your life matter, but your decisions matter. You're responsible to somebody who you're supposed to, your creator. Yes, well, I'm not going to listen to mom and dad. That's fine. But you will listen to God. Well, I don't have to believe that Bible. I'm rebelling against God. Do that. But you'll stand before Him. You'll give an account. You can't rebel against God forever. God will have the final say-so. I promise you, your decisions will matter. That's why I don't believe that your decisions matter. You're free to make that choice, but you're not free of the consequence of that choice. So decisions matter. If you go out here and shoot somebody and they arrest you, and you say, yeah, I did it, you should expect the consequence, right? You made a decision, right? Decisions matter. Eternity matters. See, the world says, well, you know what? We've already been here 4 billion years. So that means automatically people can say, well, we've got all kind of time. God says you had 6,000 years. And then the seventh day, God rested. There's coming a day of rest. You can read your Bible. You can see all that. It's all there. I get asked a lot of times about the gap theory. Y'all, the gap theory between Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. Someone says, don't you believe in the gap theory in Genesis 1:1? I said, no. I believe in 6 days. What Moses wrote again over in Exodus, 6 days God created. I said, no, if there is a gap, it's between Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. I don't know how long Adam and Eve were on in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. But it don't matter if there's a gap there because nothing aged. Think about that. Let Dr. Doodle Digger dig on that one for a little bit. I'm probably the only person I know that believes in the gap between Genesis 2 and 3. And my theory makes way more sense than theirs. He says, well, what about this earth that's billions of years? That's like a, Brother Gary, people have found rocks millions of years. How do you explain that? Well, how is a fully mature rock? He says, what do you mean? Well, how old was Adam when God created him? He wasn't a baby. He was a man. He was fully mature. I don't know how old a fully mature rock is. It might be a million years old, but it's still only been here 6,000 years. Right? Let me see what I'm saying? Y'all get that? You follow me? God didn't make Adam an infant and watch him grow. He made him a man and watched him live. See, you're here to live. Your decisions matter. Your beginning matters. Because your beginning gives you standards. You are accountable for your actions. You are. eternity matters. You're going to go somewhere. You're not going to be here forever. And I said, brother, I don't know about that. Go to the graveyard and look. There's all kind of people that thought they had more time. Decisions matter. Eternity matters. Your beginning matters because it teaches you all that. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to hell, it'll be because you made a decision. Nobody accidentally goes to hell.
Amen.
I believe it takes effort. Like one of the preachers said this weekend, said, when you go to hell, I said, you'll remember this message. You get out and you go to college and WVU or UC or wherever, and you have some professor going to tell you, well, 4.28 billion years ago. And you're going to say, well, you know what? Brother Gary mentioned that one time. Boom, you have a conflict. Conflict requires a choice. And that choice is going to have responsibilities and consequences. Are you going to believe the Bible? Someone says, well, I don't believe that book. It was just written by a bunch of men. Really? Who wrote your science book? I looked at one the other day. I think it was about 40 or 50 different authors in a science book. They won't fuss because the Bible's got 40 authors, but they won't never tell you that their McGraw-Hill science book has about 40 to 50. We're in a mess. And it's the fight over the beginning. You know why the devil fights so hard over the beginning? Because he's trying to destroy your ending. Let's all bow our heads. Miss Emily, if you will, come to him, please. I don't know. I don't know every heart. I know we've got young folks.